News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sen Gupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. Prime Minister Narendra Modi, in his address to a virtual high-level United Nations dialogue on desertification, land degradation and drought, highlighted various novel methods India has undertaken to combat the issue. Modi is the president of the 14th session of the Conference of the Parties to the United Nations Convention to Combat Desertification, or UNCCD. He had inaugurated the high-level 14th session of the Conference of the Parties to the UN Convention to Combat Desertification in New Delhi in September 2019. Land is the fundamental building block for supporting all lives and livelihoods, and all of us understand that the web of life functions as an interconnected system. Sadly, land degradation affects over two-thirds of the world today, he said. He said that if left unchecked, land degradation would erode the very foundations of our societies, economies, food security, health, safety and quality of life, and called for reducing the tremendous pressure on land and its resources. Clearly, a lot of work lies ahead of us, but we can do it. We can do it together, the PM said. The PM highlighted various measures India has adopted to combat the problem. In India, we have always given importance to land and consider the sacred earth as our mother. India has taken the lead to highlight land degradation issues at international forums. The Delhi Declaration of 2019 called for better access and stewardship over land and emphasized gender-sensitive transformative projects. In India, over the last 10 years, around 3 million hectares of forest cover had been added, he said. This has enhanced the combined forest cover to almost one-fourth of the country's total area. We are on track to achieve our national commitment of land degradation neutrality. We are also working towards restoring 26 million hectares of degraded land by 2030. This would contribute to India's commitment to achieve an additional carbon sink of 2.5 to 3 billion tons of carbon dioxide equivalent, Modi said. The PM said India believed that the restoration of land could start a cycle for good soil health, increased land productivity, food security and improved livelihoods. In many parts of India, we have taken up some novel approaches. To give just one example, the Banni region in the Rann of Kutch in Gujarat suffers from highly degraded land and receives very little rain. In that region, land restoration is done by developing grasslands, which helps in achieving land degradation neutrality. It also supports pastoral activities and livelihood by promoting animal husbandry. In the same spirit, we need to devise effective strategies for land restoration while promoting indigenous techniques, he said. The Prime Minister said land degradation posed a special challenge to the developing world. In the spirit of South-South cooperation, India is assisting fellow developing countries to develop land restoration strategies. A center of excellence is being set up in India to promote a scientific approach towards land degradation issues, he said. Modi said it is mankind's collective responsibility to reverse the damage to land caused by human activity and our sacred duty to leave a healthy planet for our future generations. Chirag Paswan's uncle and Hajipur MP Pashupati Nath Paras has been unanimously elected as the leader of the Lok Jan Shakti Party in the Lok Sabha, ANI reported. The move comes as a major setback to the Chirag Paswan-led LJP as five of the six Lok Sabha MPs of the party revolted against Chirag and have written to the speaker to be treated as a separate group. The Lok Sabha Secretariat on Monday issued a revised list of floor leaders of parties in a notification in which Paras has been listed as the leader of Lok Jan Shakti Party. Pashupati Kumar Paras was believed to be behind the rebellion, said that it was the desire of five MPs to remove Chirag Paswan as the leader of the lower house. There are six MPs in our party. It was the desire of five MPs to save our party. So I have not broken the party, I have saved it. Chirag Paswan is my nephew as well as the party's national president. I have no objection against him, Pashupati Kumar Paras said. Five MPs have submitted a letter to the speaker. We will go and meet him as and when he orders, the Hajipur MP said. Paras is upset with his nephew and it is believed that he has been in touch with a JDU Lok Sabha MP. The majority of Lok Sabha MPs in Chirag's own party intend to replace him with Hajipur MP Pashupati Kumar Paras as the new leader of the LJP in Lok Sabha. To this end, the LJP MPs have already met Lok Sabha Speaker Om Birla and handed him a letter regarding these new developments. To this end, the LJP MPs have already met Lok Sabha Speaker Om Birla and handed him a letter regarding these new developments. Chirag Paswan, the son of late party supremo Ram Vilas Paswan, had been having a tumultuous time managing the party ever since his father's death 1 year ago. In February this year, more than 200 leaders of LJP joined the Janata Dal United in Bihar. JDU National President RCP Singh announced at a press conference the induction of 208 leaders from the LJP. India has been witnessing increasing events of extremely heavy and very heavy rainfall since 2012. Data from the Ministry of Earth Sciences showed in 2012, 185 stations reported extremely heavy rainfall, while in 2020 this increased to 341, nearly 85% jump as per the data. Further, 2019 had been an exceptional year as 554 stations reported extremely heavy rainfall, the highest since 2012. Also, at least 3,056 stations reported very heavy rainfall, also the highest since 2012, the ministry data accessed by CNN News 18 said. The rainfall recorded below 15 millimeters is considered light, between 15 and 64.5 millimeters is moderate, between 64.5 and 115.5 millimeters is heavy, and between 115.6 millimeters and 204.4 millimeter is very heavy. Anything above 204.4 millimeter is considered as extremely heavy rainfall. In 2012, 1,251 stations had reported very heavy rainfall during the southwest monsoon, that is June to September. In 2020, 1,912 stations had reported very heavy rainfall, a nearly 53% jump from 2012. In India, June to September is the period for the southwest monsoon and is considered as the main rainy season for the Indian subcontinent. Between 2017 and 2019, the events of extremely heavy rainfall and very heavy rainfall were on the rise, while 261 stations had reported extremely heavy rainfall in 2017. It increased to 321 the next year and 554 in 2019. In 2017, 1,824 stations reported very heavy rainfall. This increased to 2,181 in 2018 and 3,056 in 2019. Heavy to very heavy and extremely heavy rainfall events occurred over different parts of the country during the monsoon season of 2020. Due to such events, parts of Himachal Pradesh, Maharashtra, Kerala, Uttar Pradesh, Assam, Bihar and Telangana suffered massive flooding. In 2020, the National Disaster Response Force had rescued and evacuated 19,241 people and 334 livestock. As per the data from the Union Home Ministry, at least 1,503 people were killed across the country due to heavy rains and floods between June and September 2020. Along with that, 7,842 cattle were also killed and 275,045 houses were damaged. The monsoon and floods have impacted crops on 20.75 lakh hectares across the nation. US President Joe Biden used his first appearance at a NATO summit since taking office to call on Russian President Vladimir Putin to step back from provocative actions targeting the US and its allies on Monday. NATO leaders joined the United States in formally accusing Moscow and Beijing of malign actions. Biden's sharp words for Russia and his friendly interactions with NATO allies marked a sharp shift in tone from the past 4 years and highlighted the renewed US commitment to the 30-country alliance that was frequently maligned by predecessor Donald Trump. Biden, wearing a NATO lapel pin, said that in his extensive talks with NATO leaders about his planned meeting with Putin on Wednesday, all were supportive of his plans to press the Russian leader to halt Russian-originated cyber attacks against the West, end the violent stifling of political dissidents, and stop interfering in elections outside its borders. "I'm going to make clear to President Putin that there are areas where we can cooperate if he chooses," Biden told reporters as he ended his day at NATO headquarters. "And if he chooses not to cooperate and acts in a way that he has in the past relative to cyber security and other activities, then we will respond. We will respond in kind," he said. Biden is on an 8-day visit to Europe in which he is seeking to rally allies to speak with a single voice on countering Russia and China. To that end, NATO leaders on Monday declared China a constant security challenge and said the Chinese are working to undermine global order, a message in sync with Biden's pleas to confront Beijing on China's trade, military, and human rights practices. In a summit statement, the leaders said that China's goals and assertive behavior present systemic challenges to the rules-based international order and to areas relevant to alliance security. The heads of state and government expressed concern about what they said were China's coercive policies, the opaque ways it is modernizing its armed forces, and its use of disinformation. The NATO leaders also took a big swipe at Russia in their communique, deploring what they consider its aggressive military activities and its snap war games near the borders of NATO countries, as well as repeated violations of their airspace by Russian planes. They said that Russia had ramped up hybrid actions against member countries by attempts to interfere in elections, by political and economic intimidation, by disinformation campaigns and malicious cyber activities. Until Russia demonstrates compliance with international law and its international obligations and responsibilities, there can be no return to business as usual, they said. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening. Stay safe and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.